Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with a special guest, Ralph Martin. Ralph is the president, founder of Renewal Ministries. He's a key faculty member at Sacred Heart Major Seminary here in Detroit and has been really engaged in work of renewal around the world for 50 years, literally. And this past year, as we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, the whole miracle at Fatima, something we've always been aware of and respectful of and received. It just like the Lord took Ralph to a deeper level in terms of his own understanding and connection of it. And so we're just walking through Fatima this week. And I hope you can join us all week long because I think every day is going to be rich. And so welcome back, Ralph.
Thanks, Pete. It's great to have this opportunity because I do feel like having connected with these three children and with Mary and the angel has kind of given me a commission now to share the message of Fatima. Yeah. So I'm kind of doing it.
Yeah, there are.
So thanks for the opportunity.
Right. That's a good thing for us just to know how God works with us. You know, we know, I don't just mean Ralph and me, but you too. When God gives you an inspiration, God gives you something, and you know in your knower that God's prodding you to do something, it's so important to do it because he wants to commission us at various times to do the things that he's really made us to do, those good works he's planned for us, Scripture says.
Yeah.
So, Ralph, where did we leave off yesterday?
And we left off after the second visit of the angel that the Lord was sending to prepare them for the coming of Mary. The third visit of the angel happened in the fall of 1916. This time he appeared with a chalice and a host, and he parked them in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, he just put them in the air and they didn't fall down, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And then he taught them a new prayer. This is the prayer he taught them. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference with which he himself is offended, and through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. Then he gave the host to Lucia, who actually had received her first communion. And then he gave a drink of the chalice to Francisco and Jacinta, who hadn't received their first communion. He said, take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Horribly outraged by ungrateful men, make reparation for their crimes and console your God. Now, this reminds me very much of the prayer that Jesus taught St. Faustina. Oh, my Jesus, forgive me my sins, save me from the fires of hell.
Lead all souls to heaven,
especially those most in mercy. Yeah. And then the initial prayer, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and for the sins of all the world. Very kind of similar kind of praying for God's mercy for sinners, you know, which shows us something a little bit about the seriousness of sin.
Yeah.
And it shows us something about the awesomeness of the sacrifice of Christ that is made present in the Eucharist, that this sacrifice that can save sinners is being made present throughout the world in every Eucharist and in all the tabernacles of the world. And we can offer, and that's what we do at Mass. That's really what Mass is. Mass is offering the sacrifice of Jesus to the Father as a cry of intercession and supplication for the conversion of sinners, for reparation for sin. That's what the Eucharist really, really is.
Yeah, I think it can be easy sometimes to see it as just a remembrance. I mean, it is that, remembering, right?
Yeah.
But it's an offering for the rest of time, from the moment of Calvary until the King comes again in glory, that he has assured that the world, that fallen humanity, will offer the Father a perfect sacrifice, which is Jesus and his own humanity being offered. And he's offering himself in a way that every human being was really created to be willing to offer their total abandonment, trust, surrender to God the Father, and to offer him adoration and worship and the kind of love you talked about, sacrificial love to God. And so it's part of Jesus' mission and commission, and it helps save us, this perpetual offering, you know, to God. It's really a beautiful thing. It's awesome.
And this is really part of the depth of what it means to actively participate in the Eucharist. It's not just saying the prayers, but it's actually offering the body and blood, soul and divinity of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and the sins of the world, the act of joining in the offering to the Father of this awesome sacrifice.
Now, can I ask, is God the Father outraged? Is that what he's saying here? It's outrage the outrage, sacrilege, and indifference.
Take and drink the body and blood. Yeah, horribly outraged by ungrateful men. Yeah, by indifference. Yeah. Yes, because...
Literally, the creator of the world is communicating something about what he thinks, what he feels. I mean, literally, this is what he's receiving and he sees.
Yeah.
I mean,
let's say for a start that it's outrageous. Well, in the political rhetoric today, everybody's outraged about everything. You know, I mean, like,
yeah, right.
I'm outraged that he voted for this bill. I'm outraged that they would not use the right pronoun. Or I'm outraged. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I think what it's saying is that objectively speaking, it really is outrageous and an incredible affront to God not to adore him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we forget this. Sometimes we think that the obligation to love our neighbor is the only obligation we have, but the primary obligation we have is to love our God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And it's really objectively outrageous for the creature who is only able to think, who is only able to breathe, who is only able to exist because of a gift from God. We are gifts to ourselves from God. You know,
mm-hmm.
God has decided to share existence with us. God has decided to share being with us. And God has decided also to heal the wound of sin by giving his son Jesus. So we are totally in the debt of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're totally obligated by human decency to express gratitude to the Creator. Not only that, but because the Creator has created us with the gift of being able to love him as we are loved, to know him as we are known. And so he's given us like a spiritual core that is like God himself. We've been created in the image of God, and we know now if we are Christians that we're sons and daughters of God, but then the scripture says what we will then be remains to be seen, but we will know and love him as we are currently known and loved. So there's this amazing glorified existence that God is giving us, and he wants us to receive it. In order to receive it, we have to say yes to love. We have to love back. And so it's outrageous that we don't worship God.
What is sacrilege? The angel is saying that sacrilege, that's committed against God.
Yes.
What does that mean exactly, do you say? What do you think it might refer to here?
Yeah, well, what it normally would refer to would be like the sacrilegious treatment of the consecrated bread and wine that now are the body and blood of Jesus, like treating with disrespect or dishonor holy things. So here he says, take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men, make reparation for their crimes and console your God. So there's this sacrilege against the Eucharist. Mm. You know, St. Paul says, examine yourself before you receive the Eucharist. And the reason why so many of you are dying prematurely and getting sick is because you're not really examining yourself before you receive the Eucharist. Like, this is holy, and you need to prepare yourself. You need to not treat it lightly. You need to recognize that you're taking holiness into your life, and you need to be holy. But God says, be holy as I am holy. You know, I want you with me forever, but there has to be a transformation in your life. There has to be holiness in your life. So confess your sins, prepare yourself, repent. But human beings are holy too.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, if somebody destroys you, you're holy. You're the body of Christ. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't take the members of Christ's body and make the members of a prostitute. You know, if somebody destroys you, God's going to destroy them. You know, like the holiness of God's holy people and the holiness of each other and how we reverence each other and respect each other and treat each other.
No, that's so good. The third term you said, indifference, you know,
yeah.
And you say, so there's a way of treating the great holy things of God as if they don't matter. You know, so what? Poo-poo. You know, it's like, you got an iPhone. What do you got to worry about? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like the important stuff. I've got all the glittery stuff in this world.
Yeah.
And we just don't care about God's
right.
holiness. And sometimes I have to say, I feel the zeal of the Father for the precious sacrifice of his son
mm-hmm.
and how the world ignores it.
Yeah.
And even baptized people ignore it.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. You know, we just finished Advent. We're in January right now. And, you know, those readings where Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, it's going to be just like it was in the day of Noah. People are going to be eating and drinking, buying and selling, marrying and giving in marriage, just like it was when it was in the time of Noah until the flood came and destroyed them all. People were indifferent to the prophetic word of God. Noah was a prophetic sign calling people to repent because the judgment of God was coming on the wickedness of earth. Fatima is the same thing. Fatima is a prophetic sign, a prophetic call to repentance because the judgment of God is going to come on the whole earth, and we've already seen it. And one of the things that Mary told the children, she said, this war is going to end soon. She's talking about World War I. We know that 20 million people died in World War I. She said, unless there's repentance, a worse war is going to come. The worst war came, World War II, 50 million people died. And Peter, like you said previously, when we were talking before the program, it isn't like there's been a great wave of repentance between World War II and today. It's almost as if there's been a greater and greater apostasy, a greater and greater rejection of the faith on the part of those countries which have been most entrusted with the faith, France and England and Ireland and Germany and Italy. It's shocking. Even the United States, we're seeing, and Canada, we're seeing a radical rejection of Christ and the church. We're seeing in Australia, New Zealand, we're seeing it all over the world, the materialism that's kind of beginning to grip the world, making people indifferent to the things of God. And Jesus warned, he says, when the Lord returns, it's going to be just like it was in the day of Noah. People are going to be carrying on with business as usual, literally business as usual, literal life as normal, ignoring the prophetic warnings that God is giving, and that they will come and catch them by surprise.
Yeah.
And that's a prophetic warning that God's given to our generation. You know, Mary said to Jacinta when she was dying, she said, wars are a punishment for sin. I think sin has increased since World War II. And you almost sometimes you say, how much longer can it go on? What greater perversions can people think up? What greater rejections of God can they imagine? What greater manipulation of human life can they do? You know, it's like, what's left, you know, of the mockery of God and the mockery of his creation of us and the image of God, male and female?
Yeah, the great temptation of the human heart to get God himself to genuflect to me. And what is it I want to be and who I am and what I decide to be and what my country's going to be. And, you know, I mean,
I can create values, myself. Right, I can decide right. myself
yeah.
what I'm going to be.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, it's very diabolic. And the idea of, I mean, when I was a young boy, I do remember, no time in history has ever been perfect, but I do remember things like respecting God and the things of God, respecting the commandments, honoring things God wants you to honor, and parents disciplining their kids if they refuse to do it, that kind of stuff, you know, to teach us the right order of things. And today, that's just all blown up
yep.
in so many ways.
Proudly, belligerently, arrogantly blown up.
Yeah.
Having parades to celebrate yeah. the blowing up of God's creation, yeah.
So in some way, Rob, I've felt this so much this year. This is very relevant to today.
It really is.
And it's the same issues are in play.
Yeah.
The same offense and maybe even greater offense against God
yeah.
is happening.
Yeah.
And it really demands our attention and repentance and sacrifice and reparation.
Yeah.
And the rest of that, I wonder, we just have about 50 seconds left, Ralph. Just, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yes, yeah. yes. Before Lucia died, she wrote a letter to a cardinal in Rome saying, Mary continued to appear to her mm-hmm. periodically during the years. And she said, Mary told her that the final battle is going to be directed against marriage and the family. Are we ever seeing that today, yeah. Peter? Do we ever need to respond to the call to repentance and reparation and intercession for the conversion of sinners?
Yeah, and what you know, politicians and big public cultural elite people are celebrating these quote-unquote liberating advances. They're profoundly offensive to God.
Yes.
And it's a refusal to accept God and God's creation and God's order. Mm-hmm. And it's grave and it's very serious.
Yeah.
And we're going to be judged for it. There's judgment's coming,
yeah.
you know, and I think
yeah.
we're already in it in some
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, let's pick up, Ralph.
Yes.
And
there's more wonderful
friends.
Things for Fatima yeah. coming up tomorrow.
Amen. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.